When we talk about pollution, we often think about our physical health, things like our lungs, our skin. But what about our brains? Just this last year, a nationwide study was released, the first of its kind, that looked at the neurological effects of pollution on children in schools across the country. The researchers tested for exposure at around 85,000 U.S. public schools, and they found that the schools with large black and brown populations were disproportionately affected by pollution. I sat down with Sarah Elizabeth Grineski, who co-wrote the study, to talk about her findings. Grineski is based in Salt Lake City, Utah, but I decided to start first by recording my own observations of pollution outside of our offices in Harlem, and I asked Sarah for her impressions. All right, so it's 1:52 in the afternoon. We're right here on 125th Street. You can hear the announcement of the bus right behind us. So one bus, wow, let me see. I see one small little kind of hospital bus, a school bus right behind that, a regular city bus behind that, a van, a truck, another double-sized bus. And this is just 1 second on 125th Street.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're located right there in the center of a lot of traffic and, you know, city life. I mean, Salt Lake City, we also, it's a pretty big city here. We have, you know, a fair amount of traffic pollution and buses and everything. But what I was actually thinking about when you were talking about what's outside are just all of the health risks associated with those different exposures that you were hearing. And not only the respiratory risks for our breathing, but also, you know, cardiovascular effects and what my research has been focusing on, which is, you know, neurological effects and how air pollution actually can harm our brains.
So that gets really scary. I got to be honest with you.
It does.
Because I'm like, okay, first of all, I feel like a terrible mother because I dared raise my kids in New York City, in Harlem. But also, it just makes me wonder about what this has done to my own brain. So what do you mean exactly? Because that sounds quite shocking and quite scary.
The working theory now, coming from neurologists, is that when you breathe in the pollution, for example, through your nose, and it damages the nasal and lung epitheliums and allows the pollution to enter your body. That then generates an immune response, which causes tissue swelling and immune cell release of cytotoxic species, and then it can lead to diffuse loss and damage of neural tissues.
Okay, and for those of us, like, okay, I was raised with a scientist, so I got a little bit of that, but then there's a lot of people who are like, okay, I feel like I lost some brain cells just getting that interpretation. What it really means is that if you're breathing in air that's contaminated, it can find its way to your brain. And essentially, you're saying it slows us down?
Well, yeah, it causes inflammation, which damages our brain and changes the way that it functions. There's a medical doctor. She's at the University of Montana, Dr. Calderon Garcidueñas, and she actually does work in Mexico City. And she does autopsies on otherwise healthy youth that are basically, you know, killed in traffic accidents or other accidental deaths. And she's looked at their brains and she's compared their brains to the brains of youth who have died of similar causes in less polluted Mexican cities like Veracruz. And she basically finds that they have brain structures that resemble people who have early stage Alzheimer's disease. So she can actually visually see in the brains of these young people, these changes, which she believes are tied to the air pollution that the children must be, you know, breathing in as they live their lives in a heavily polluted city like Mexico City.
So in the report, the term environmental justice is talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been around for a while. But just to make sure, because there are different definitions, what exactly, in your view, is your definition of environmental justice?
Well, the paper that we published in Environmental Research takes a perspective on distributional environmental injustice, which has to do with how, you know, health-harming pollution is distributed in space and then how certain social groups are disproportionately exposed to that pollution in their neighborhoods or, in our paper, in their schools.
So, Sarah, just to kind of end on this concept of environmental justice, what might justice look like for these communities that are challenged?
I think it's really tricky because we can't just shift the pollution around. There's evidence that as the environmental justice movement was achieving some success in the 1970s and the 1980s, where, you know, our backyards were getting at least somewhat cleaner in certain parts of the United States, that basically what was happening was these burdens like waste incineration was shifting from the United States to other countries. So it's that not in my backyard versus not on planet Earth, right? And I think moving towards that nope, that not on planet Earth, whereby we make very conscious decisions to protect our children, you know, remedy environmental injustices that have been perpetrated against people of color in this country for a very long time, has to happen in terms of reducing the pollution everywhere and for everyone, and not just, you know, shifting it on to some other less powerful person who then has to deal with it.
Sarah, thank you so much for all of your research. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sarah Elizabeth Grineski is one of the researchers behind the National Pollution Study. She's a researcher and professor at the University of Utah.